The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock, and I'll tell you why all this drama with Kyrie is going to hurt LeBron's image.
And I'm Colin Cowherd, and I'll tell you why the Cowboys are massive hypocrites and why I don't care. Speak for yourself starts now.
Hypocrites?
That's who Jerry is, but I'm okay with Jerry.
Not a hypocrite. All right. Hello and welcome. We're joined today by two Super Bowl champions, Greg Jennings and Eric Davis. Let's start with a strange NFL story out of Virginia, where police dropped shoplifting charges against Cowboys receiver Lucky Whitehead after realizing they had actually arrested a man pretending to be Lucky Whitehead. Stranger still, the Cowboys cut Whitehead yesterday, supposedly because he didn't show up for the arraignment for these charges, with head coach Jason Garrett saying, quote, "When you have someone in your program in this environment and they don't grow and they make the same mistakes over and over again, it's time to move on." Well, obviously, those words haven't applied to Ezekiel Elliott, who has been in trouble over and over again. Colin, are your Cowboys being hypocritical?
They're not my Cowboys. They're being completely hypocritical. I thought they were overly aggressive yesterday, Jerry, defending Ezekiel Elliott with alleged domestic violence charges. But there's always been real clarity with Jerry Jones. He's a businessman first. He's challenged the NFL. It's all about winning. He takes risky players who have had lots of baggage. You know, Jerry, you know, for all the missteps and all the things Jerry does, his brand is very clear. I am very tolerant if you are very talented. And it's very clear. He's completely authentic. He doesn't say one thing and do another. He's not Stan Kroenke, wear dark glasses. You feel like he's manipulating behind the scenes, and then he goes in front. Jerry's like, he's got a Trumpian quality. You got money? You can help me? You're talented? I'll look the other way.
How is he any different than anybody else, though?
I think there's a lot of manipulators in the NFL. A lot of guys that want a certain image and do other things behind the scenes. Jerry's all out front.
But again, I think everybody in the business world, everybody in their personal life has different rules for different people. And how much talent you have, how attractive you are, how good you are in bed may impact all the decision-making and how much BS you're willing to put up with somebody. Lucky Whitehead, I think 7 catches in 2 or 3 years
average
or whatever,
player.
Not nearly good enough to be involved in anything, and even things he's not involved in, he's not good enough to tolerate. This seems consistent to me with smart business people and certainly football people.
This is so hypocritical. Stop it. Come on, man. You know it. They just sat there and said, you know what? I looked at everything. I looked at all the evidence. Zeke has, there is nothing there. Absolutely nothing there. We looked at everything. Then a guy gets arrested and it's not even him. And you cut him because you're not paying any attention to what it is. You're right. It's about the talent. Now, he doesn't care. I've always said, Cowboy haters, they call me a Cowboy hater.
Yes, you are a Cowboy hater.
No, I'm not. When I talk about what's actually happening there, what you're saying, all Jerry cares about is winning. That's the environment.
Yes.
If you can help me win, if you are a supreme
talent, I got you.
I'm not saying, but you know what? Eddie DeBartolo never got up here saying, I know all about this evidence, and I don't, you know, I will watch all this stuff and then cut a guy who didn't do anything. It's not about that. It's about the talent. So just say it. I'm okay with it. That's what it's about.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. This is totally hypocritical, 100% hypocritical. My issue with this is simple. You're sending a message to the guys in your locker room that there's a certain A group, and then there's a B group, and
that
then
message,
there's the rest of you guys.
That message was sent in the 90s.
I get it. I get it.
Message.
But what I'm saying is, everyone comes in with that understanding already.
Yes.
But as an owner and then as your head coach to go out there and then do this, you're going to have your locker room divided without even allowing the players to do the dividing.
No, I would argue that, Dallas has always been pro-player. Let's take the Detroit Lions. Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson, their two best players, retired early. Because the feeling in Detroit is, you're not protecting us. Dallas is the opposite. They'll overpay, overprotect sometimes bad guys. So Jerry has created the opposite of the Lions. We'll take care of you. Stars, not if you can be productive. How has it helped the Lions? The Lions don't take care of their own. This is great for Jerry's image is, I will defend you if you produce for
You're
me.
You're making my point. This is why I'm saying it's not hypocritical, because there's not any of us that are surprised by this behavior.
Oh, no, it's very hypocritical when you cut this guy without doing any due diligence, when you say you're putting all your due diligence into your players and you care about your players.
So
no, you don't. You care about...
It's predictably hypocritical.
Yes, yes. You care about the talented players. They are more important, but you don't care about... when you talk about this team, I don't see you rolling your eyes.
I care about the talented players. That's all across professional sports.
But when you and I sit here earlier, you know, other days, and you're talking about how much Jerry cares about these guys, and he hasn't created an environment in which he allows this kind of stuff to thrive, you always say he doesn't do that. And I'm telling you, this right here shows you that he does.
Yeah,
if you're a good player, you can get away with things. That's all he cares about.
I agree with you with that. If you're a good player, you know what? Jerry Jones is going to stand out front, and he's going to pitch for you, and he's going to be your advocate. When you're not, you get Jason Garrett, and we're going to hand him over this, and he's going to say, hey, guys, what we should be doing with everybody, we're not, but we're going to do that with you because you're not growing. But Jerry Jones isn't going
to sit there saying, if he's watching this, right? That sounds like incentive. That sounds like motivation. Be a good player,
yes,
and I'll look out for you.
Agreed. There are different rules for good players. I agree.
This is the Speak for Yourself podcast. I am your host, Jason McIntyre. Before we move on, I wanted to tell you that this podcast is brought to you by Barbasol. The biggest thing to happen to Barbasol since shaving cream is also the only thing to happen to Barbasol since shaving cream. Introducing new Barbasol razors. The brand America trusts for a close, comfortable shave now has premium disposable razors. Barbasol's close shave technology on every razor means you get an advanced pivoting head and ultra-thin open flow blades. The Ultra 6 Plus razor also features a seventh blade specifically designed to style those tricky areas like under the nose, sideburns, and beard. Visit Barbasol.com and get a $2 savings coupon and see for yourself why Barbasol razors are the number one new disposable razors out there. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
To Robert Griffin III, who's been unemployed since being cut by the Browns, but is scheduled to work out for the Chargers today. RG3 hasn't been any good since 2012 and is now the latest marginal quarterback to get a tryout before Colin Kaepernick, who hasn't been invited to work out for any teams this offseason. Whitlock, does it bother you that RG3 may get signed before Kaepernick?
Oh, I'm distraught. I knew that was the answer. I'm torn up. I just can't believe. Listen, I'm going to call some people out by name, but look, I watched the other network today, and Josina Anderson was throwing a tantrum. Oh, my God, she wanted to call Roger Goodell. Goodell called her. I don't get this. This is not hard to understand. RG3 or Kaepernick are starting quarterbacks. One of them, as you explained, is extra newsworthy, and people don't want to deal with that newsworthiness. It's Colin Kaepernick. That's why RG3 can get a phone call and a workout before Colin Kaepernick. Let me apologize to the Kaepernicks and the people that cape up for Colin Kaepernick. He's not getting into the league because he doesn't care about football, and he's too newsworthy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I contend that Drew Stanton is the best backup quarterback in the NFL. He could walk into the studio, and I don't know what he looks like. That's what a backup should be. Because quarterback is so high profile, like, I don't want Tony Romo as my backup. In fact, I would argue RG3 is a little newsworthy for my taste. I don't want Johnny Manziel. You know, for different reasons, I would never sign Johnny Manziel. I don't think I'd sign Kaepernick. I don't think I'd sign anybody that's newsworthy. I said yesterday, when you say baggage, it's offensive to people. Kaepernick's not baggage. But if you just say newsworthy, I just don't want my backup quarterback to be newsworthy. And he's newsworthy. It's as simple as that to me.
It's hard to understand.
It's not hard to understand. And for me, either one, as a receiver, I don't want either one of these guys. Just being honest. I don't want either one. I don't want either one because you can't, it's proven, you can't win with either one of them. What they bring to the table is so one-dimensional. Neither one is accurate. I take that back. I say this.
Robert's more accurate.
Robert's more accurate, and he throws a prettier ball.
He does.
Well, yeah. Other than that,
they both run. They both have issues with the guys in the locker room liking what they bring to the table as far as offensively and just the control and the perception that precedes them. I don't like either one of them. I think that when it comes to Kaepernick, it's what you said. And I said baggage yesterday. I'm glad you corrected that because it's newsworthy. It is. He has so many outside things that he's interested in that supersede football, to your point, that doesn't engage him enough to where it's like, I think I'll take a shot on this guy. No, why would you do it?
Ask yourself this. Who's the best quarterback in the league, probably? Brady, right?
Yeah,
Brady appears to have virtually no life out of football. That's why Belichick likes him. By the way, Peyton Manning had other businesses. I never heard about him until he retired. Peyton Manning was all football.
Well, you know what? The thing about that, with that conversation, if not for the stance that Cap has taken, you wouldn't be hearing about him in the offseason.
But he did exactly. take it.
I'm saying that's the reason that he has been in the headlines because of that. Other than that, we wouldn't be paying attention to Cap. Do I have an issue? No, I don't have an issue with Robert being given a tryout first. It's all about all 32 teams don't like the other 31 starting quarterbacks. I mean, there are starting quarterbacks that certain teams wouldn't say we want in our system. So Cap is not going to work for everyone anyway. I don't have a problem with Robert coming in. Both of these guys are guys that have shown that they can do certain things. If you think that you can get more out of them, that's it. If you think Robert, you can keep Robert healthy, number one. So, you know, that's the issue right there. He has some things personally from a personality standpoint that's rubbed guys off the wrong way. But him getting a tryout, I don't see the issue with him getting a tryout.
Let me add one more layer to this conversation about, because the Cap thing, he's pictured yesterday on Instagram or Twitter or somewhere with a Huey P. Newton T-shirt on. Huey P. Newton was involved in some capacity with the murder of a police officer, spent some time in prison for that. He ended up being violently murdered in his own community. He was involved in some other violent acts. You can say you support the Black Panthers. But I just want to think about high-profile positions in America, in any profession, and high-paying positions in America, do they normally go to the employee who routinely wears Huey P. Newton T-shirts, Fidel Castro T-shirts? Is that the guy in the office? We work here. Have you seen anybody here? Does Eric Shanks wear a Huey Newton shirt?
No.
Does high-profile positions, do you wear one? I don't wear one. Again, it's no one's trying to apply a standard to Kaepernick that isn't applied in all other professions.
When I think of Colin Kaepernick today, it's muddied. I think football politics football. Like, that's the issue. Like that is the prop. When you think of Sean Hannity, you should think politics. When you think of Rush or Rachel Maddow, you should think politics. That's their brand. The brand with Kaepernick has, because he won't talk, has gone from football to football.
Revolutionary.
I mean, and that's what people are turned off by.
And again, if I guarantee you this, if I started rolling around in Huey Newton T-shirts and I got fired because I was like, hey, I don't know if we really want our guy out front wearing that. I wouldn't want people to throw a pity party for me. It's just in a.
By the way, I did once wear a Huey Lewis in the News. It did not go well at work.
All right, welcome back. Greg Jennings and Eric Davis are back. Let's move to O.J. Simpson, who was granted parole last week after serving 9 years in a Nevada prison for kidnapping and armed robbery. But even while O.J. was in prison, his impact continued to reverberate. As I argued in today's Wall Street Journal, his image as a racial sellout has driven Black public figures to abandon moderate positions when it comes to race so they can prove that, unlike O.J. Simpson, they really are Black and care about the plight of poor Blacks. That's why I'd say he's been more influential on black athletes and black public figures than even Muhammad Ali or Michael Jordan. The negative OJ effect, I think, is omnipresent. I think it's not acknowledged and talked about, but I think many people, black media members, black celebrities, black athletes, feel the pressure of to demonstrably demonstrate we're not O.J. Simpson. And so it's like he's this bad dad that we're learning how to be public figures from by doing the opposite of what we think O.J. did, rather than modeling ourselves off of someone who was successful and did it the right way. I think that influence has really destroyed and has widened the gap between what we as black media personalities say publicly about race as opposed to what we say privately about race.
Yeah, I mean, to me, OJ's image has always been very simple. Star, killer, over. And it's just that.
There's over.
I mean, like, life over.
Yeah.
Con man, jail, loser, parole. I mean, like, when I watched him last week, my takeaway was, man, he's a con man. It's the same. He even kind of pierced his lips the same way when he got the parole. I see him very clearly. I don't see him radically. That is your image as an African-American male. Mine is celebrity killer over. That's it's such a simple way to see OJ. That's how I've always seen him post the murders. Apparently, I'm alone on that. I don't think it's that complicated.
You don't feel that pressure. To me, America and the media made OJ a statement about black America which you would not feel. And I felt like it was inappropriate. I don't think OJ is a very profound statement about black men or black America, but we made him into that because it's a great story.
You know, I read the article, a very good article, and I agree with you on some aspects of it.
Where do you agree?
I mean, when you look at where he's saying that you look at guys today, you look at media members, you look at athletes, that they're more influenced by what happened with OJ as opposed to Muhammad Ali. I do agree with that because you also have to look at the age of it and what they've grown up with. I think about where the age I was when the trial was going on and what I knew about OJ. I said this previously, that OJ was a figure. I mean, he was this bigger than life figure growing up. We're the same age, as you said. I didn't know his life. I didn't know what was going on with him. I didn't know where he lived. I didn't know anything about Brentwood. I just knew what I saw on television in the games and the ads and the movies, all of those type things. Over the course of this time now, we've seen the trial, we've seen all the evidence come out, we've seen all the documentaries. You have a different image of OJ right now. But also remember the athletes and media members right now, they're seeing those same things, okay? He definitely has more influence. But now this is the thing that I still say. I don't know if it's necessarily people are afraid to say how they feel or selling out in some aspects or being considered a sellout. And I don't want to be too long on this, but you, as a black man, we have to assimilate into the white culture. You have to. You don't have to assimilate into the black culture. And there are things right now that are going on. And, Greg, I'm going to shut up and let you jump in this. There are some things that are going on right now where you see it in music. You see it in television, like shows like Power, where things are being unapologetically black right now. And I think that has a lot to do as well, with millennials and what they're seeing, that they have a voice, and I think it's more so that as opposed to saying that what OJ is or was is that you want to take a side on it one way or the other. I don't think it's about him.
For me, being a black athlete and playing football, I saw the OJ process. I didn't per se. I wasn't able to see his entire career, but I saw his aftermath, if you will. And pursuing sports, it never once crossed my mind to say, man, I don't want to be OJ. It never once crossed my mind to say, man, I don't want to be Muhammad Ali. Or I saw greatness and I saw failures. And for me, I just wanted to be great. Regardless of what that looked like, I wanted to be authentic and organically me, great. And so when it comes to not really saying what I really want to say or kind of selling out, if you will, or being politically correct, that's what we have to do. I don't care. If we don't, we're looked at as, when you look at the NBA and you look at an Allen Iverson, when he got into the league, he was organic, authentically who he was. They changed all the rules. I need you guys to wear suits, a blazer. You have to look a certain way now all of a sudden. When we take a stance of just being who we are 100%, to your point when you were on with Colin earlier, what we would say at home with our homeboys and all, we just can't do that.
That's what I'm saying about being assimilated into the culture. You have to be a part of doing that. This is the thing. If you are white and you grew up in a trailer park and you make some money and you decide that I've made some money and I'm going to move to another neighborhood and I'm going to get on the nice side of town and you do all those things, then it's fine.
Absolutely.
You're never
100%.
Considered. No one ever says that
you
this
change.
Guy didn't want to live in a trailer park. This white guy changed. But if you're black and you grew up in the hood, in the projects, and you get some money and you move, then, well, you're selling out.
But, Eric, you're making my point. If you're from the trailer park and you grew up wearing cut-off jean shorts, mm-hmm. and decided, you know what, now that I've made some money, I'm going to put a suit and tie on. No one's going to say you're selling out. And so, again, we've like Allen Iverson was being authentic to who he was and how he grew up. But is that necessarily black? Is that authentically black, or is that just authentic to Allen Iverson, that individual?
Exactly.
And so there's a lot of people that grew up in the hood that when they got some money, my father grew up dirt poor, took so much pride in being suited and booted every single day. And that wasn't about selling out. That was just about how he felt about himself. And so I do think the Allen Iverson thing and the reason why we feel like, oh, Allen kept it real and he didn't sell out, that's the people don't realize it. That's the OJ effect. We think anything that's not corporate ain't us. And a lot of times, again, as you mature and as you elevate, you want to look nice.
I dress the way I dress because I want to.
Yes.
When I was growing up, I didn't have a whole lot. So when I got an opportunity to get more, then you're right. This is my choice as to how I dress.
How come it's funny, but in the black culture, when I hear about people that have influence, it's always the same eight names. It can be Martin Luther King. It can be Muhammad Ali. It can be this. Could I not make the argument that that's just not the case, is that there are hundreds of thousands of black influencers in America. They're not money grabbing and TV grabbing and star grabbing. That there's lots of people in America in the black culture that influence. They're not basketball players. They are teachers. They are fathers. They are mothers. It too often becomes like four figures. I'm sorry, but Martin Luther King doesn't have the influence of a strong mother or father in the black community.
No question about it, Colin. You're making a tremendous point. Mm-hmm. But one of the points I think you're unintentionally missing, though, is the media decides who the greatest influencers are. And so you can be sitting around making great rap music, but the media and the industry will say, nope, NWA and the music they make, that's what we're going to promote and shove down your throat. O.J. Simpson, that's the athlete we're going to promote and shove down your throat after he's charged with murder. We've had 20 years of constant conversation about O.J. Simpson, and people have naturally gone the opposite way, I think, in an overreaction. But again, I just go back. The media decides who the spotlight's on, who to model after, who has influence. And again, to me, to sit up here and act like O.J. Simpson has something to say about me or Eric or Greg Jennings is BS, but the media decided that. Irritates me.
Welcome back, Greg Jennings. Joined now by Eddie House, NBA champ. Let's move to Cleveland, not literally, where all hell is breaking loose. Stephen A. Smith reported yesterday that sources close to LeBron said he wanted to, quote, beat Kyrie Irving's ass over the point guard's trade request. Now LeBron has responded, tweeting, quote, not facts, people. Boo, get another source. Enjoying my summer, you do the same. LeBron also denied a report that he's eager for the Cavs to trade Kyrie. Whitlock, will this turmoil with Kyrie hurt LeBron's total image.
Yeah, I think it's going to ding it slightly at this point. Just a hair. Again, I'd like to talk about approval ratings. Let's say if you were at 75% with LeBron, you may drop down to 71%.
Whoa.
However, if LeBron runs Kyrie out and then LeBron also leaves, people in Cleveland might drop to about 60%, because that would be a ding against LeBron, and it would be... Look, it's great he brought him a championship in 3 straight finals. Cleveland hadn't had a championship in 50-some-odd years. But this would hurt his reputation. Runs off Kyrie and then runs out of Cleveland, not a good look.
I totally disagree. I think it's a bad decision by Kyrie. Think about this. Michael Jordan. When you're as great as Michael Jordan, there's the divorce. There's the punch the teammate. There's the quit the sport. There's the horrible GM. There's the petty Hall of Fame speech. There's the gambling issues. GOAT, Tom Brady, Spygate, Deflategate. He had a kid out of wedlock. He's got a trainer who's got a background that's a little skeevy. G-O-A-T. I think when you're as big as LeBron and you have a global image, it's a force field, and it's just ding, and it bounces off the force field. LeBron, in 1 year, is going to go wherever he wants. Kyrie's going to get traded to a team that needs a point guard. How many great teams in the NBA need a point guard? Zero. This is going to be a career-defining mistake by Kyrie, and LeBron's got 6 more years, 2 more titles. Nobody will remember it.
It's not going to hurt his image at all. I don't see how you think that, and how you glossed over the fact. It was like, yeah, great that he took him to 3 straight finals and he won. That you glossed over that fact. That's big time, man. You can't just act like that's nothing right there. First off, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer regardless on anything that happens because of what he's done. So that's not going to tarnish his image there. You got to think KD and Westbrook, they split up last year. Didn't hurt their image. What about Kobe and Shaq? Shaq told Kobe to see how his ass tastes, right? Yeah. Didn't tarnish his image. Shaq got Gold Bond, the General Insurance, Icy Hot, and he's on TNT. Kobe is Kobe. You got KG and Marbury. They had a bad breakup. Their images weren't tarnished by this.
I don't hear Michael Jordan's name coming out of your mouth, because that is the standard for
Michael
LeBron.
Michael Jordan is the GOAT. There's no standard when you're the best ever, right? It's no debates in sports, okay? Who's the best wide receiver ever? Jerry Rice. Who's the best basketball player ever? Michael Jordan. Those two things are set in stone. Everything else is up for debate. You could argue Joe Montana, or you could argue Tom Brady. You could argue every running back that you think is better, Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith, all these guys. You could do all that, but two guys you can't argue. You can't set the standard for the best ever, because he's never going to catch that. That's a rabbit he's never going to find.
40% of all-stars in the last 4 years. Think about this. Nice job by our crew here today. 40% of NBA All-Stars in the last 4 years have traded teams. This is the new NBA. People just come and go and they leave.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to hurt his image. Specifically, off the court, he is who he is. Everyone looks at LeBron James. He is the ideal, prototypical athlete. He's clean cut. He does everything the right way. He's endorsed by every major sponsor out there.
Great business.
Absolutely. Right. On the court, as far as hurting his image, how do you not want to play with the most dominant force in the game that will pass the ball to anyone?
By the way, what was Kyrie before LeBron? Let's just be totally honest about this. No
young.
Defense, often hurt,
young,
made mistakes, losing point guard.
We can't put young in it because LeBron came in. But LeBron came in 18 years old young as well, straight out of high school, and he had the world on his shoulders. He was
and
the chosen one instantly. He's never gotten in trouble. His nose been clean. A great businessman off the court.
I don't think that's movie analogies.
I do.
LeBron's Liz Taylor, man. A huge star, but divorced too often to be considered on the same level as Meryl Streep. Divorced.
So you're saying Kyrie's Meryl Streep, the greatest actress ever?
No, I'm just saying.
Who's Meryl Streep?
Drama.
Jordan?
No, he's drama. Everywhere he goes, there's a messy divorce.
Kobe's not drama. Barkley's not drama.
He's already past them.
What I love about what LeBron does is he doesn't just think about everybody else. He makes sure that he's going to take care of himself and what he's doing moving forward. His decisions aren't based on man, is this going to make you better? Is this going to benefit you? No, his decisions are based on his family and his business plan, his overall, how he sees his business. His business out here in L.A., everything is set up to for him to come
very
out
selfish.
Here to L.A.
Sounds
no,
like
it's not selfish. Guy, because along the way.
His career have went up because they
absolutely. Along the way, I give
Williams,
you a championship.
Boobie Gibson.
He is the player empowerment player. Michael Jordan was about Michael. LeBron's brand to me is player empowerment. And now he's getting burned by it.
Divorce.
No, there's nothing. That's having control. The player having control divorce. And not the owners. Because what LeBron's been
divorce.
Doing, free agency going where he wants to.
Now
Kyrie might get stuck going somewhere
that's
he doesn't want to be at.